Okay, we're picking up from the top of Samech Hei Amud Aleph, the words of Tanya. Our learning is once again sponsored, Louis Nishmas Shulamis Pasakov, the Neshama Shabbat Aliyah. So the Gemara again is talking about different halachas with regards to being Matir Neder. This also is learned out from the case of Moshe Rabbeinu and Yisro. Says the Gemara now at the very top of the Amud, Tanya, Hamudar Haname Chaviru in Matir Lo Ella Bifanov. Someone who makes a Neder that Asher's benefit from his friend, we only allow him to be matir neder if his friend is there. So there is a big machlokas as to what exactly is the reason for this takana. Some understand that the purpose is to make sure that to avoid marasayin, avoid chshad, that people are going to think that he's not keeping his neder, that the guy who he made the neder to, they were in a really bitter dispute, and he makes his mudar hana from his friend. All of a sudden, he sees that he's walking to his friend's property, he sees he's talking with him, he's having hana from him, he thinks this guy is just violating his nedarim. So in order to avoid that suspicion, we have the guy that we made the neder about, he comes to see that the neder was in fact uprooted, and therefore this guy is not violating any isser. And what about everybody else in the world? Not everybody else in the world, according to these Rishonim, are really paying attention to this guy's neder. They don't know about the fight that Reuven had with Shimon. Reuven and Shimon knew about their fight, and Reuven knew that Shimon made a neder against him. So then you make Reuven come in Shimon's presence. That's one explanation of this. Others explain that, no, it's actually a neder that was done for the benefit. Reuven actually made a neder. The way that they explain it is that Reuven made a neder saying that he's going to asher, let's say, all of Shimon's property if he doesn't give Shimon whatever it might be, like $100, or he doesn't give him a present, or Shimon doesn't accept the present, whatever it might be, then he makes the neder. So in such a circumstance where the neder is, in fact, a benefit to that person, so that's considered that you need his presence there, because maybe he's going to feel shame in being matir such a neder, because now, hey, he's going to say, oh, I don't want to give him that thing. He's going to feel badly about it. So he's going to actually, in fact, give him the item and not be matir the neder. That is the other explanation for this. So there actually is a daf gemina between these two understandings, is because if you tell the other person you're matir the neder, but you don't do it in his presence, if the idea is that we have him there so that maybe he'll avoid being matir the neder, so that obviously if you tell him, that's not going to be good enough, because the whole idea is that he should be there so he'll be embarrassed to actually uproot the neder in his presence. So then that's not good enough. However, if the whole idea of chshad is marasayin, then that is good enough. You tell him, hey, by the way, I was matir the neder, so then he understands that he can now be neder from him and mahana him, whatever the other two, the two ways would work. So that lechora is a nafkamina between the two. And the Ran paskins that he says that if you tell the person, even that's not enough, the Ran says. The Madir actually has to have his consent if it was for his benefit. That he goes like the first explanation, the second explanation rather. And he says that if it's really all for his benefit, so the idea is going to be that he is going to do it only for his benefit, so you have to tell him, and he has to agree, not just that you have to tell him, you have to agree to be allow you to be matir the neder. If he does not agree, says the Ran, that would not be okay. That would not be enough, that you would not be allowed to be matir the neder. Very interesting halacha. The Ran, that is the understanding of the Gemara now. So the Gemara now asks, where do we know that you need the guy's presence there? Amar Rav Nachman Dichsev, back to our psukim with Moshe Rabbeinu and Yisro. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, b'midyan. Leich shuv Mitzrayim ki meitzah kol anashim. The pasuk says, "I'm vakshem esav shechel." So what happens? Amar lo, Hakadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, "B'midyan adarta, you made this neder in Midyan with Yisro. Leich veheter nidro b'midyan. Therefore, go to Midyan to Yisro, and then go back to Eretz Yisrael." Dechsev. How do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu made a neder? The pasuk says, "Vayoel Moshe." That Moshe, literally, lashon of Yoel, he came to dwell with Yisrael. So now the word Vayoel is the lashon of Allah, Aleph Lamed Hey. The lashon of Allah, as it says in Gemara now, is in Allah Elo Shvua. We know that the word of Allah is the lashon of taking a Shvua. Dechsev, the pasuk says, Vayeve Oso Be Allah. Nebuchadnezzar brought King Tidkiyahu under Allah. He made him swear. Tidkiyahu was one of the Malchus Beis Dovid. Nebuchadnezzar had taken him after he had exiled Yehoyachin, the other Malchus Beis Dovid, I think it was his nephew. So he took him and he put him in place, and he made him make a shvua. The Gemara is going to discuss what was the shvua. The Kama Melech Nebuchadnezzar Marad Asher Yishbiyo Belokim, and then Tidkiyahu rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, who made him swear. So the Allah over here is clearly discussing a lashon of a shvua, and we mentioned. Why Dafka do we mention the Marsha is bothered by this? The Lashon Allah is mentioned many times in the Torah. You don't need to, in Bamidbar, we have it, in many places we have it. So why are you bringing Dafka this Pasuk of Tzidkiyahu to bring you a raya that Allah means Lashon Shvua? Because the Gemara wants to mention the Hemsheikh about the failure that he did to actually, because it's actually in context, we're going to mention halacha of being matir b'fanav. So that's why we mention it over here. It was for a different reason, but you're right. Says the Marsha, there are other psukim in the Torah clearly indicating the words of Allah is a lashon of Shua. But either way, so again, we see from the over here that is what happened to Tzidkiyahu. So the Gemara asks now, what's going on over here? My Merudusim, what was his rebellion against Nebuchadnezzar, Tzidkiyahu? Why did he rebel? So what happened? Ashkechei Tzidkiyahu Nebuchadnezzar davi ka'achal arnava chaya. So Tzidkiyahu saw Nebuchadnezzar, he was eating a live rabbit, which is something pretty disgusting. Nebuchadnezzar didn't think anyone was watching, and he saw Tzidkiyahu was in fact watching. So Amar Lei, so he said to Tzidkiyahu, Ishtabe li de la megillas alei velo pnei v'gmilsta. He says, swear to me, you're not going to tell anyone about it. Ishtabe, so he swore to him, Lasof ave kamatzar tkizik v'gufei. So it bothered Tzidkiyahu very much because Tzidkiyahu, again, Nebuchadnezzar was not a good guy and he was definitely oppressing the Yidden. So he hoped that if he would tell all of these people who are close to Tzidkiyahu about his disgusting act, that people would say, oh my God, this is our king. They would make him resign. They would forcibly make him resign. And that was his plan. So that's why it bothered him very much until the point where apparently he even became somewhat Tzare Begufa. He was like physically getting ill that he had this secret, a way to, he thought, overthrow Tzidkiyahu, and he wasn't able to do it. So therefore, he went to the Sanhedrin, and he asked them to be matir the Shavua, the Amar, and he said to them that Shama Nebuchadnezzar. He went to them, Amar, and then he spoke to them what he had seen, and that it was and then they were mishtah. They did it for him. So again, they give him permission. They uprooted the Shavua, and then he told everybody what happened. So then, what happened? Shama Nebuchadnezzar de kamevazin lei. So he heard it. People heard about this. So he said, "There's only way one person who saw this. This got out from Tzidkiyahu." So Shalach Vais to Sanhedrin with Tzidkiyahu. He sent messengers, and they brought Sanhedrin Tzidkiyahu to Nebuchadnezzar. Amar Lehu, he said to them, "Chazeson Makavit Tzidkiyahu. Do you see what Tzidkiyahu has done? He has violated Shvua. You guys are Jews. You're supposed to be religious Jews. Lavachish Tavi Bishmeh Deshmai Dalem Magali. He made swore in the name of Shemayim that he would not reveal the secret." Amar Lehu. So they said to Nebuchadnezzar, "Ishtale Shvusa. He in fact was Matir the Shvua." And we did a Taras and a Darim, a Taras Shvua, and we therefore were uprooted his Shvua. And he was permitted to reveal the secret. Amar Lehu, Mishtalana Shvua. So he said, you do that? That's a halacha, that's okay? Amar Lehin, yes, of course. There's a concept called the Taras and Darim, a Taras Shvua. That is a concept. Amar Lehu, so he said back to them, Bifanaval Afilashal Bifanas, apparently Nebuchadnezzar knew halacha. He says, wait a second, is this mutter only in his presence, or is it mutter even without his presence being there? Meaning, in front of me, I wasn't there. Amr Le, Bifanav, only really supposed to be when the person's there. Amr Lehun, Va'atun, Maya Vidisun. So then you guys violated the halacha. My time, Alar Misun, Let Tzidkiyahu. Why did you not tell Tzidkiyahu that you are not allowed to do it unless I am here? I'm the presence of his neder. Miyad, Yeshvu, La'aret, Yid, Muzikne, Basion. And the Pasuk is saying that Tzidkiyahu made them sit on the ground. That beforehand, he respected. Imagine how the Sanhedrin looked like the holiest people, or Mesha Feitzer, think of people like that on the Sanhedrin. So he had a great respect for them. And however, after they had, in his view, completely messed up this halacha, so then after that point, they were sitting on golden chairs. When he saw that, he made them sit on the floor of Derech Bezayon. And he said, "Rabbi Yitzchak shamtu karim tachteim." They removed the cushions from beneath them. They were sitting on golden chairs. Now he moved everything, made them sit on the floor in an embarrassing way for these Sanhedrin, because he assumed that they were not keeping the halacha, that they weren't keeping the halacha, and in fact, this seems to be they were wrong about this, that this was not something that they did correctly. They were wrong to do this, and that was not the right thing. So the question is, though, the Sanhedrin knew halacha. The Chora over here, how could it be that they violated the halacha over here? So the Ran and other Rishonim, Rashba, Tosfos, they all explain that this is a din lechadchila. Lechadchila, you need the other person to be there, but the evidence definitely chal. So, but that's also a little difficult, though, that the Achronim point out, okay, that's great, but lechachila, the Sanhedrin should keep halacha. That's, we don't b'dievet, okay, we don't do something b'dievet. So they say that maybe when it comes to the idea of kavod malchus, that something that is chal b'dievet is considered something which is therefore more lenient, and therefore we can be more mekil if it has to do with kavod malchus. So that was their cheshbon, which again, it seems to be their cheshbon was in fact incorrect. The Midrash tells us even further that they acted wrongfully. He not only did that through them on the floor, he had them tied by the hair the tails of the horses and dragged them through the streets. Real bizayon. So that was obviously something that he was very upset about. So that's the shayla over here. The halacha lemaisa, how do we paskin? So some want to tie that even though lechachilah be allowed to be matir, well, here, b'diavad, it's definitely chal based on this maisa tzidkiyahu. Others say no, that this whole thing proves nothing. Tzidkiyahu was in fact trying to do the halacha, and so were they then. But that was something which the Yechezkel told them that they were wrong, and Sanhedrin was also wrong. So therefore, that is something might be therefore not even b'diavad. So that's the shaila. Can we use this as a raya to assume b'diavad it works or not works? That's the machlokas rishonim about this very interesting case that we happened with the king Nebuchadnezzar and Tzidkiyahu. Okay, now the Mishnah continues. Rav Meir Omer, yesh tvarim shein kenolad ve'en kenolad. There's going to be things that can be like a new development, but they're not. Meaning, they should have been like a new development, therefore not work. However, we are going to view them as they work, although they work because we're going to assume that they make the neder not chal. They automatically matter the neder. You don't even need to do a hataras neder. Ve'en chachamim modin lach. Chachamim do not modin to this. Ketzad, how does this work? So the Gemara says, because of the following, Amar Konim Sha'ani Noses B'lito Shavya Ra. I'm never going to marry, I swear. A person makes a neder, he's not going to swear Rachel, because Rachel's father, Yaakov, is a big Rasha. So the Gemara says, Amar Lo, Meso Shasta Tshuva. No, he didn't know. He died, and he did Tshuva, or he did Tshuva. Konim Labai, we're going to see if that's while he made the neder, only afterwards. We'll see, that's a machlokas amarayim, how to understand this Mishnah. Kol nabai zesh ani nechnas, again, a person swears, makes a neder not to go into a house. Shakelev rabba soch anocha bezoch, there's a crazy dog over there, he bites people, or because there's a crazy snake, and they said a similar thing, I'm a little mace. Hakelev oshener ganocha, she said the dog died, or the snake died. So areze kenolad veino kenolad. This is like nolad, we would have thought it's something which is new. However, it's not, and therefore they are considered, you don't even need a taras nadar, and the neder is not even chal. However, the Chachamim disagree with the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Now, the Gemara continues to quote, Konim Sha'ani Nichnas, you have the parentheses over here, the base, Kelo Zera, or the Nachash is there and it dies. So then, yeah. So the Gemara says, Ma Noladu. The Lashon of that he died is clearly, Mace, not Ma. Mace, Noladu. So the Gemara says that the Lashon of Mace that he died is clearly a Nolad. And it's therefore, it cannot be based on something which is new. So how then can Rabbi Meir tell us that these are going to able to be something which is the neder is uprooted? So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Nasek Etzol Anidro B'davar B'davar, that it means that it's like he explicitly made his neder taloi on this. Rabbi Meir is not saying that the concept of nolad allows you to be matir. Rather, he's saying that the madir made this tnai, and he made it with a tnai that he wanted it to be contingent on the fact that this guy was a Russia, that this woman's father was a Russia, or that the guy wasn't around. So if he dies, that shows that the neder wasn't really going to be chal. He doesn't need to bring a taras nedarim even, because he clearly said in his reason of the neder why the neder should be chal. So therefore, once the ikar reason that he made the neder is not chal, so then the reason the neder should not be chal either. So that's the shita of Rabbi Meir, and the Chachamim say that since he didn't explicitly tell us that it's taloy on that, so therefore it's not going to be allowed to be uprooted unless you have hataras nedarim. That's how many Rishonim understand that. Definitely, the Chachamim would agree, at the very least, it works to be matir the neder. However, others explain, other Rishonim, no, even through hataras nedarim it's not chal, because the neder is full-fledged neder, and this is a nola, this is something which you cannot be matir through. Okay, that's a machlok Rishonim, how to understand the Chachamim in this version, but that's how we understand it. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. He says, Rabbi Yochanan amar kfar meis kfar asa tshuva karmelei. No. Rabbi Meir is not telling you a chiddush that even afterwards the guy dies and that was tali in the neder. That's really like a nola, says Rabbi Yochanan. That wouldn't work. Rather, Rabbi Meir is telling us, in the time period where the guy made the nether, then the person had already been dead or had done tshuva. So the whole reason that he made the nether, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is not chal. So l'chora, that's a very good argument. That's pasha, like a mistaken nether. Why should the chachamim disagree? Why would they disagree with that? So Tosos point out that l'chora, they should disagree because they're concerned that we're going to get confused. They're going to get concerned in a case where the person had not died before, but rather died after. They're going to think even that case is okay, which clearly it's not. And that's why the Chachamim are Machmir, just a gzera to another case. But really, and Chachamim, Rav Meir has a very strong argument that this is just a neder shkaga, but that's the point of the Gemara. Turning on to the next Dhamma now, Samechayim Beis, says the Gemara Vayter, Mesiv Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba has a shayla from the Mishnah. The Mishnah later on, Daf Samech Vav, is going to tell us, Konem shani nosa leponis ki'ura. I make a konem, they're not marrying to her. She's so ugly. Varei na, but he didn't realize that she's actually very beautiful. He heard that she's very ugly. She made this neder. She realized it came out that she was a very beautiful lady. Shchora, she's dark. Varei levana, she was really light. Ktsara, she's very short, and she was tall, very aruka, she was tall. So the halacha is mutar ba, he's permitted to marry her, and the neder is not chal. Lovin mei shekura v'nasa is not because we assume that she was ugly and became beautiful, shchor nasa levana, or she, all of a sudden, she was dark and she somehow had this thing to become light, although they have these things nowadays. Ktsara v'nasa is aruka, short became tall, I don't think we have anything to do that. Ela shenedr tells, because the whole neder was made in error. He made an error thinking that this was the case, and it wasn't, so that's just a neder ishkagos. The neder never was chal. So the Gemara is going to flesh out the kasha in Rabbi Yochanan now. Bishlam Rav Huna, and I understand according to Rav Huna, there's two different cases mentioned in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is one case. De amnar nasek etola nidra bedavar, because our Mishnah is one case. It's talking where the guy says explicitly that he made his neder dependent on something, and Tana tola nidra bedavar. There's two different cases. One is you made the neder tola contingent on something, and that thing that it's contingent upon is no longer chal. So that makes sense. That first case is going to be no need for ataras nedarim. And the second case is telling you just where you stam made a mistake. That's also going to be a case where it's a different halacha. However, tana neder tos, and then we mentioned making a mistake. Both of them are going to be two different cases, and it's not repetitive. I understand the difference between the two. Therefore, that the circumstances change, the neder is automatically batel. The second case, the first case has a machlokas about it, so that makes sense to mention both cases. However, Ela Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, it's just a repeated case. De'amar kvar meis u'kvar nasa tshuva. So he explains our Mishnah is also a case where this metzias was just wrong. The guy thought that the guy's a rasha and he really was a tzaddik, or he was alive and he was really dead. So his whole neder is a neder taos according to Rabbi Meir. According to really, yeah, everybody agrees it's a neder taos. The shaila is, maybe we should require out the fact that maybe it's tola b'davar achar, fine. But so that, according to Rabbi Yochanan, though, again, this is a neder talos, and the other one's a neder talos also, where you just assume that she was very ugly and she was really beautiful. So the Gemara says, lama li lemitne trei zimne neder talos. So why is it necessary for mention us two times that he makes his neder? So rather, kasha, really, this is actually a kasha in Rabbi Yochanan, that it seems to be repeated two times. So that's the halacha here. So if you made a mistake, she really was beautiful and he would want to marry her, that's something which is going to be a neder talis, so that's going to work. I was mentioned, or Shetler used to mention, in like, I think it was like a dating shmooze that he used to give us, it was just reminded me of this, that he always used to tell us that there's a, I forgot which achron it was, that says there's a hider to marry a beautiful girl, just like it's hider to have a beautiful esrog, so it's a kiyum of a mitzvah, pruravu, of being married in the mitzvah of marriage, you're doing a hider mitzvah by marrying a beautiful woman. He was talking about that the looks are important. You should, you're not a malach, a person is attracted to a certain type of person, and also important when a person's dating to keep that in mind. I don't know, I'm mentioning here because I'm thinking the person made a neder because she was ugly. That's not the total vain. Obviously, the chen is the inner beauty. Obviously, it's extremely important in her midos or ikker as well. But also, it's not a chisar. And if she's a beautiful person, it's a nice thing. It's something adraba the person should be looking for when dating. Okay, that was just a side point for Rav Shechter. Continue in the Mishnah now. Ve'od Amar Rabbi Meir. We find also you can make up based on other halachas in the Torah that the guy would be violating by making the neder. The following: there's an isra d'oraisa to take revenge. Right? If a person, let's say, you ask him to borrow his car, and then he doesn't give it to you. So you make a neder swearing off that you're never going to borrow his car. So then he's never allowed to borrow your car. Whenever you have your car and you want to give it to him, that's the Isra Deraisa of taking revenge. So that would be, so we were able to be mad to the neder based on this point. We say, hey, if you'd known that, would you have done it? And he says, no, then we'd be able to mad to the neder. Velo, val lotitor, lotitor is taking a grudge. That would be similar to someone who says, of lotitor would be like, it's just, you swear that you're never gonna ask about how he's doing, and you're never gonna care about what happened in his life because he's not nice to you. That's also bearing a grudge against, because he's not nice to you, that's taking a grudge. You're hating your friend. You make this neder, and you're showing him how much you hate him by making this iser v'afta, and the pasuk also v'aftavecha kamocha, mitzvah d'oraisa, to love your friend, right? This is so important. How could you're violating all this? Another point is that your brother should live for you. We're going to see based on the Gemara and the Hamshech, it's really talking about specifically your brother. The person who makes a neder against their brother, we're going to see that case, so you're not able to give him tzedakah. Now he became poor, and you have a mitzvah deraisa to help him, and you're not able to mekayim that mitzvah. Amar ilo yisei odes, the Mishnah continues. He said, had I known this, we were assuming that that would be okay. Now the question we have to ask, because we already mentioned this before, but we'll just mention it again, is that how is this different than kavod hamakom and maybe kibud avayim? Because that's something which everybody keeps. That's something which everybody's been embarrassed to admit to. However, these things are a little more lax and people do hate each other. You have unfortunately, people are religious Jews, or you have brothers, if you have family fighting, infighting with business, this and that, all the time, unfortunately, who are really, have crazy fights. So that, it's unfortunately a milestone also the shchicha. So therefore, people aren't as embarrassed to say that originally they did make this neder. That they knew we were hating him, but they were so mad at him that they made this neder. So we're not afraid he'll make up that he'll say, "Oh no, of course I'm not a Russia. I wouldn't violate this neder," because everybody has come and say people did that, and therefore we're not afraid that people will do it. That's the difference. We're not afraid that he's going to lie about what his kavana was when he originally made the neder. He really had in mind that he knew that there was an iser and he made it anyway. So then in a chanami, we will keep the neder, and we're not afraid that he'll lie about such a thing because it's more common that people will violate these things. Now the Gemara continues. Amar le Rafuna bar Ktina. We have it la Rabbanan. Some change the gersa to la Rabba. Name a call demai lav alai nafil. So the madr should say, well, in the case of the poor person, when it comes to his brother became poor, so why is it that just why my demai the parnasos? So what's the problem? He's saying we know there's the rabbi's discretionary fund. Every city had the kupa, what's called the kupa. The rabbis, right? They would give it out. The gabayim would give out to the poor people of that city who needed the money, and everybody was chayav to give the money to that kupa. So say I'm giving it to the community charity fund, and I'm giving it to the tzedakah of the kupa. And they'll do whatever they want with it. I'm not giving him. And if they decide to give it to him, that's their money that they're not giving. I'm giving it to them, and it's their money to give to them. So the Gemara says, and therefore he's not violating his neder. So the Gemara says, Amar Le, no. Ani Omer Kol Anofel Ein Anofel Liyadi Gabay Tchila. So that we say back to them that really, coming to the tzedakah funds is secondary. First, he should come to his family members. And that's why I was saying that the Gemara is clearly assuming that we're talking about it's the guy's brother who became poor and he made the neder from. And so he should have a chiyah first to take care of him. We have concept, mibisarcha al tis alem. The pasuk tells us that we have a chiyah to try to aniye a person who is his family members. Those come first and foremost. A lot of people don't realize this, you know, unfortunately. You know, they'll have cousins, they'll have whoever it might be, relatives. They're giving to all these tzedakah campaigns, which is very nice. It's a beautiful thing, but they should realize that their family members come first. Giving to their brothers, giving to their cousins, those come first. Those people are your family, and those should come first in tzedakah. There's the shayla again, I'm not getting into all the pratim now, but ba'etzim, if everything is equal, then they should be giving to their family. Now the Gemara, so the Mishnah continues. Poskel adam b'ksuvas ishto. We could also do a taras adarim based on the fact of telling him about the wife's ksuba that he'll have to pay her. Person who divorces his wife, he must pay the ksuba. So if he, let's say, moves modar hanav from his wife, he's no longer allowed to have relations with her. That's a tnai ksuba. That's an iser deraisa, right? It says she'era ksusa ve'onasa lo yigra, that lo sigra, that he's not allowed to prevent the marital relations between him and his wife. So therefore, the halacha is that we must, we tell him that we're gonna make him get divorced. He'll have to pay the ksuba. So then now the Gemara just gives him a maisa that happened. What happened? Be'efat shenader mishto hana. So he made a neder to not give hana for his wife. Vayisak suba arba meot dinarim. It was 400 dinars, which is a very large amount of money. So that's an exorbitant sum. Ubalav ner Be'kiva, he came before Be'kiva. Vayisalo ksuba asa, and he had the ksuba to pay off. Amrlo, he said to Rabbi Kiva, Rebbe, shmona menos dinar and aisal abba. My father gave us an inheritance of 800 dinar. Not also your family came from a very wealthy family. Not the achi arba meos, vani arba meos. So my brother took 400 and I took 400. Lo daish a titol hi. Masayim vil ani masayim shat. At the very least, can we split it? It's like what they do nowadays. They split the assets. Should we at least split it? And Rabbi Kiva said back to him, no, Amrlo Rabbi Kiva, afilo atam bocher saroshcha tanosin la ksubasa. Even if you're forced to sell the head on your hair, you must give her the full ksuba payment. Amrlo, so he said to Rabbi Kiva, I'm going to be broke now. I have no money. She can take every dollar, last dollar I had. Lo yisin neider. I would never make such a neider. The Tira Rabbi Akiva. Upon hearing this, Rabbi Akiva annulled the neder and permitted her to him. And we see that the husband realization that he has to pay the ksuba is basis for a hataras nadar. So the Gemara asks, wait a second though. Rabbi Akiva's lashon over here that he had to pay the 400 dinar and make him pay every one of those 400 dinar. Lachora, that's metaltalin. Metaltal mishtabed leksuva. We have a machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim whether or not metaltal mishtabed for a wife's ksuba. Rabbi Meir holds that it is whether or not he was alive or he's dead. Both of them he could collect from metaltal from her and from the asomim from him personally or the asomim. If he's divorced or if he dies, he could collect the asomim. The Chachamim say no that metaltal lo mishtabed leksuva being him or his children. So both of them you're not allowed to collect from metaltalin. So the Gemara seems to say is Rabbi Akiva holding Rabbi Meir? It seems to be a shitas yachid. It should be noted, though, that the halachas of ksuba are different than a normal debt. In the case of a normal debt, if you're coming directly to the person who owes you the money, you're allowed to take the metaltalin. We're afraid he's going to hide them, but if you're allowed to, glimal kazafi, you can take a shirt off his back to pay you back. So collecting from the heirs after that, then we assume that would be only karka, but that's the difference, just to point that out. So it's important to note also the halacha of Isab is manazeh, the Gaonim already masakin that we assume that all metalton are mashav defra ksuba, and that's what we do as well as that. Everything you can take from all the assets of the husband to pay off the woman's ksuba. Amar Abaye, karka shavish 800 dinar. So Abaye says that the inheritance of 800 dinar, so Abaye is answering this. He's saying, again, this is metalton. He holds like a no, it's a karka shavish 800 dinar. That is, it was land worth 800 dinar, and that's what he's referring to. It wasn't actually metalton, so Rabbi Kiva really holds like the Rabbana, no kasha and Rabbi Kiva. Not kasha, it would just be interesting that he holds like a shita's yachid. So the Gemara says, but wait a second. It said on this, that you have, even if you have to shave off the hair of your head and to sell that for the ksuba, you have to do that. Obviously, the hair on his head is going to be metaltalin. So there's obviously the chora are going to the ksuba as well. So the Gemara says, no, hachikam. This is what Rabbi Kiva meant. Meaning that even after she takes all of your payment, you're left with nothing, and you're left with no food, you have to be forced to take off your hair and sell it as like a toupee, then you'd still have a chiyuv to do that to pay her ksuba. He wasn't saying that he could demand the hair on their head. That was metalton, you're right. But it meant that even if you're stuck in a situation where that's all you have left, ad kedekach, that's what his lashon is, then you still are going to be chayav to pay the ksuba. So the Gemara says, l'chora shma mina in mas sadrin l'balchov, there's a big machlokes in the Mishnayos and in the Moraim, hard paskin above Metzia, then about to the very end of above Metzia, whether or not we're misajin l'balchov. It means that do the Baal Chov literally have to give every single item left in his possession in order to pay off a debt? Or do we have somewhat of a concept of bankruptcy where maybe we'll give him like enough to live for a year, basically? That's the machlokas. Do we give him 12 months? We give him like a bed and the things that he needs for his job. Let's say he's a tailor, the things to do his tailor work or whatever it is. Let's say he's a craftsman to give him his woodwork tools, whatever it might be. That's the machlokas. So lechora, Rabbi Kiva seems to be saying that we give, because he's saying even if you have to shave the hair off your head to pay the ksuba, that sounds like we take everything, every last dollar for him to pay a chov. He seems to be of the manda amr now that we have a raya for the shita that holds you have to give every last dollar even if you don't have enough money to survive a year. So the Gemara of Nachman Rebbe Yitzchak, turning on to next time. But now, Rav Nachman Rebbe tells us, lo mar she'ein makriyin shtar ksuba. It tells us that we don't tear up the ksuba document, it remains in the woman's hands that she could collect it when he acquires it. Meaning there's no raya. Maybe he really holds, he's allowed to keep for the year. So we'll keep him, let's say 399 dinar we give to the woman, and the one dinar that's enough for him to last a year, we let him keep it. But if he ever gets any more money, she's allowed to keep that ksuba document and collect one dinar later on if he ever has the means to be able to pay off an additional dinar from whatever work he was doing, then we make him keep it. So there is no raya, Rabbi Kiva would hold that we are in Mesajin Lebalchov. Okay, Mirtz Hashem, we'll pick up with post and Yamim Tov and Mirtz Hashem in tomorrow's daf.